With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Pod.
I was trying to cut him off at the pass.
Hello, effers. I am your host, Internet Keith, and welcome to the NFL edition of Football and Other F-Words. Today on the NFL edition, we'll be talking about NFL news. We'll be talking about some three-quarter of the year awards. We're going to give out awards for the season if the season ended today. I can't believe we're already three-quarters of the year through the
year.
Yeah, and college football's almost already over. Audience, please.
Yeah, please. That's enough.
Come down, audience.
College football is pretty much over. Yeah.
As is tradition, I'm joined by some hooligans. This first guy, he might be a little sad because of the goings-on in college football. It's Zeebo.
I really do not want to face Oklahoma. I'm a little scared of Oklahoma, just a little bit, as an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
How's your college team doing, Keith?
I don't.
My
do
college
that sort
team
of
sucks.
Okay.
So I don't want to hear about Alabama and their woes. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm also joined by Mr. Lebowski, who the crowd just can't get enough of.
Oh, I don't have a sound drop? Okay, you had three sound drops.
I have a little bit. You want the children booing?
I don't know why I just got booed by children, but I'm Mr. Lebowski.
Well, it's probably because of that anti-child comment that you said at the end of the last
podcast. What? On the Titans, but where I said children should be seen and not heard? I don't even think they should be seen, to be honest with you. Get them to seven, get them acting right, bring them into public. Yeah, that's right, children.
They don't like it.
That's why nobody likes you.
They don't like it.
Well, we still pay for your bills, so you can boo all you want.
Let's get to NFL news and notes. Something that we'd been talking about before came to pass. Mike McCarthy was fired as the head coach of the Packers.
About damn time. It's about 4 years too late.
And Joe Philbin is going to be, that's who you're going to choose for the head coach?
Yeah, interim head coach Joe Philbin of 4 year or 3 years of bad Miami football fame.
Yeah, it's sucks for them. Yeah. Sorry that you went from Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and had a Super Bowl win in between all that.
It's rough.
I really feel sorry for you, Packers fans.
Tugging at the heartstrings.
Yeah,
I feel like if you're Joe Philbin, just go ahead and lease an exotic sports car and live it up right now, because there's no way in hell you're lasting for any length of time.
Yeah, I don't think he's around next
year. It'd be awesome if they fire their interim head coach before the season's over.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, if the rumors are true, Aaron Rodgers was pretty much the do-or-die decision.
Yeah.
I mean,
player coach. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Philbin doesn't watch his shit. He doesn't like the way he calls the game next week. He could be on the ice.
He's going to get that State Farm agent in there.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't poop.
No.
He just meditates and makes
no,
it
that's his. That's his sports agent.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. So Rodgers is apparently audibling out of all of McCarthy's play calls. Is that right?
Yeah. SI had an article today, well-written article about basically it turned into the Mike McCarthy versus Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy would call a play, and if Aaron Rodgers didn't like it, he would just audible and just roll with his own play. And then it started turning into a competition of whose play was actually going to get called.
Well, now it makes me wonder if who's responsible for the bad offensive play calls.
I'm still going with Mike McCarthy.
I mean, you would have to think it's Mike McCarthy. Yeah. But you also got to remember, Mike McCarthy was a offensive kind of guru. But when, I think I remember back in the day when he took over, he was, I think it was quarterback's coach, or he was offensive coordinator at the time. Mm-hmm. And I felt that he was wholly unqualified for this job.
Yeah.
And it turns out, just took 9 to 10 years to, prove me right, but I still was right.
So, indulge me for a second.
Let's indulge.
Indulge with me for a second. So, Aaron Rodgers comes back from a week one injury, quote unquote, a pretty much improbable. What did they say at the time? That he partially tore his ACL or they feared he had? Did we ever confirm that?
I think it was just ended up being a sprain or something.
Okay. So, again, indulge me here. So, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, comes off the field, meets with the team doctors. They probably tell him whatever. I feel like at this point, someone close to Rodgers or his agent leaks to the press or tells the press that they fear it's an ACL tear. And I believe it's done to try to preemptively go ahead and end McCarthy's career, right?
Yeah.
Week one, your star quarterback gets hurt. This offensive line, blah, blah, blah. The shit you put together is not working. Got to get your ass out of here. He then miraculously comes back out and wins the game, despite getting his ass hurt from Mike McCarthy's players out there. I don't know. Is it that crazy? Now that he's gotten his ass fired and we find out that he's audibly all the play calls that are out there. Do you think maybe a little bit of that was hammed up to try to just add another stone to the top of his grave?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
just to further solidify, they got to get rid of
this guy. Has pretty much alienated his real life family, so why not his football family?
It's an excellent point. I mean, you're talking about a man who walked away from his parents, his brother. Well, I can understand why he walked away from his brother, but Olivia Munn.
Yeah, that one I will not get. I'll never understand why you let that one go.
That's a whole other podcast.
You downgrade to Danica Patrick?
That is a downgrade.
Yeah.
That is a downgrade. Congratulations, she can drive in a circle. But, no, I do.
Hey, it's better than most women.
But, no, so I legitimately think that
was
just
child poo?
Oh. I just, yeah. Damn children. But, no, I really do think that that whole kind of stunt, if you want to call it that, at the beginning of the year about him possibly having a torn ACL and come back out and playing is also a little bit of putting another stone on his grave.
I heard people already throw Josh McDaniels' name into the ring for the head coaching job. And I'm thinking there was no way that Josh McDaniels and Aaron Rodgers would ever get along.
No.
I just cannot.
Furthermore, there is not a head. There's not a front office in this league that would trust that mousy son of a bitch to come in there and even entertain interviewing for the job after what he pulled. With
well,
the
now
coach.
That you called him mousy in their cheeseheads in Wisconsin, now I think it's going to happen.
It's the match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Are you getting a phone call?
I am.
Can you answer this live on air?
Why not? Let's see who it is. Well, we tried listening to it, but
we did.
It failed.
We did try listening.
Now I could have listened to the whole thing and figured out what it is actually about.
Yeah. What a disaster. What were we talking about? Mike McCarthy and his shitty career.
Oh, Josh McDaniels being a rat fuck.
Josh McDaniels being a rat fuck. Yeah. There's no front office that'll trust him to even come in and interview after we would have pulled with the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's switch teams. Let's talk about the Panthers and their sudden decline from
0-4
world beaters to the four game slide.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
All of a sudden, bad Cam Newton came to play.
Bad Cam Newton, who shows up to a presser yesterday with a suit jacket, a suit vest, no shirt on underneath.
He can never surprise me with what he's wearing anymore. I cease to be
constantly
surprised
me with his terrible hat choices.
There would be one thing that would surprise me if he showed up in just a normal suit with no hat or glasses.
If he came out in a t-shirt and jeans, I'd be blown away. What's happening?
Well, I like that this guy did this after I apologized, for calling him bad, and then he goes and does what I. Yeah. So I'm taking back my apology. I rescind the apology. You're bad. You're trash.
The Panthers have fired pretty much everybody, right?
They fired their defensive line coach, who is Brady Hoke of Michigan Wolverine fame, and they also fired a cornerbacks coach. I don't know why. I mean, their defense, yes, it was bad, but I don't think it was directly those two people's fault.
Yeah. I think Ron Rivera's seat's a little warm.
He's getting hot.
Especially after last year, and now you got this year so far starting out really good, and now you're just collapsing at the worst time.
Especially with the emergence of McCaffrey and how good he's been playing, and you're wasting this now.
Yeah, Riverboat Ron has been dipping into the kids' college fund a little bit to cover his gambling debts.
And not to mention that awful Pepsi ad where he freezes the kicker.
He should be fired for the Pepsi ad alone.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the Pepsi ad.
Can consider yourself lucky.
You should look it up.
Crime. Oh, I'll be looking it up later.
Horrendous.
I'd rather watch Chechnya war films than watch that commercial again.
But yeah, they're 6-6 and in danger of missing the playoffs. I think they would miss the playoffs if the season ended today.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if it weren't for the NFC East being, are they in the South? Are they in the NFC East or South?
I don't know the NFC.
Both of them are fucking dumpster fire at this point, besides the Saints. So,
yeah. They lost to the Bucks.
They lost to the Bucks, and this loss to the Bucks somehow, by them winning, the Bucks are still have a shot somehow getting the playoffs in this NFC over there. Yeah, technically they have a shot. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But I think that Ron has a good chance of getting fired, and you know Norv Turner's there. If you drop another game, they could easily switch to Norv Turner to head coach.
Yeah.
This is going to be a wild offseason for coaches.
Because there's not many good head coaching candidates out there. So when you get all these jobs, Ron Rivera will get another job. Mike McCarthy will get another job if Ron gets fired. So,
Hugh Jackson? No.
No. No. Well, depending on if Marvin Lewis gets fired or not.
I just want to see what this arms race for Cliff Kingsbury is going to be because he's the golden child for some reason at the moment. He's the offensive wonderkin who's going to come in and give you your Sean McVay that you wanted.
Even though he got fired in college. He's going to come save your NFL team.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's him and the Sooners head coach, who I can't think of his name. Lincoln?
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley. Yeah, I'll be interested to see because it's definitely going to be an arms race for coaches anyway.
Yeah.
And someone's going to be left out because we've got, just off the top of my head, you got the Browns, you've got obviously the Packers, you've got Tampa that's probably going to part ways, and then you've got Carolina, which is starting to look like Riverboat maybe.
Mm-hmm. Never know.
So
you never know about the Cowboys, the Bengals. Right. Yeah. I mean, those teams that are doing – I mean, the Bengals aren't doing that well, but – I mean, the Cowboys could all of a sudden implode. I don't think Jay Gruden's job is that safe right now over at the Redskins.
Right.
And I think that's a real possibility. Vance Joseph, even if he goes 8-8 or even makes it to a winning record, there's another job that could be open.
Wilkes.
Yeah.
Wilkes even those first two with Green Bay, you automatically get Aaron Rodgers. That's a hell of a pull. But then, you know, the Browns, that's not a slouch job anymore. That's suddenly where you're looking at a team that's balled in and a Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's two positions right there that are guaranteed obviously need a head coach. And we named 4, 5, 6 programs that are probably going to end up needing coaches. So
Dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dolphins.
I mean, there's a lot of teams.
About 7 possible. This is going to be fucking
it's going to be
there's
crazy.
There's not 7 good coaches out there.
Doug Marrone could get fired for the Jaguars. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're looking at someone. Steelers keep going down their road. They've been looking for a reason to get rid of Mike Tomlin. If they keep losing games and making stupid decisions,
miss the playoffs,
there's another one.
Yeah.
I mean, John Harbaugh, a few weeks ago, he was on the list of candidates.
Until Lamar Jackson came
in. But that's the one that would easily get another job. Like, there's a lot of head coaches that got fired that will get fired that probably just need a little bit of change of scenery.
Mm.
But there's going to be – I mean, the Bengals may just hold on to Marvin Lewis literally just because they know, there's nobody else really that better.
Harbaugh deserves another job. Mike McCarthy deserves to go run an Applebee's, which is what he should have been doing in the first place.
Not even a Logan's Roadhouse.
Not even a Logan's. Talking about a place that just microwaves everything.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we're tying Applebee's back into this.
Yeah. Applebee's. If you're looking for not – very good items. Applebee's.
It's a glowing recommendation.
It's your neighborhood's Beef O'Brady's.
Yeah.
Applebee's.
I can't say anything about Beef O'Brady's. I got a little wild in one.
Speaking of getting wild, Tom Brady got 1,000 career rushing yards this past week. He joined the 1,000-yard club for his career. What a wonderful moment that was.
265 games to get to 1,000 rushing yards.
And
Newton did it in 23 games. Russell Wilson did it in 31, and Marcus did it in 45 games. Jeez. 265 games.
And Tom Brady, being Tom Brady, who constantly floats between I love him and hate him, released a pretty funny video today where he retired for about 10 seconds. And it was him standing outside of, I presume, his house in a very nice-looking Aston Martin DB9. And he makes a video saying that, you know, all the trials and tribulations of winning Super Bowls are nice and all, but he's been building to the point of just getting 1,000 rushing yards.
That's great.
And he gets inside of his car and he goes, So that's it. I'm riding into the sunset. I'm done. And then he goes, no, I'm just kidding. I'm heading to work.
It's the final frontier. It was that rushing yard total.
Yeah, 1,000 rushing yards. Good for him.
Yeah. There was a very funny video posted by, I think it was the Patriots organization, that was like a tribute video of him running in like slow motion with a...
Yes.
Well, there's some classical piece in the background. Yeah. I can't remember what the name of it was. But yeah, it was very, very funny. And it said TB1K on it. It was great. So I wanted to talk about the Steelers-Chargers game. I went back and watched the end of it that I slept through originally. But I specifically wanted to talk about offside of Palooza. If you're not aware, at the end of the game, it came down to a field goal. The Chargers kicker, Bagley, I don't know how you say it, had a shot to kick a field goal and win the game. And so the Steelers jumped offsides, blocked the kick. He was barely offsides on the first one.
Yeah.
So they line it up. They move him 5 yards forward. They line him up. The Steelers jump off again, jump offsides again, block the second kick. They move him 5 yards forward. They jump offsides the third time, and the kicker actually makes the kick. And so they, of course, decline the penalty and it left. Is this a viable strategy
at
the end of the game?
It's not. You're just getting the kicker closer. I mean, you're just...
What if you got it right, though, and you'd blocked one of those kicks? Eventually.
I mean, maybe.
I kind of like where Keith is going with this one, and I kind of want to throw this out there. If it's a kick of 50 yards or greater, I say you fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. With how much is each penalty? Is it 5 yards?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you do it twice. And if you rattle them bad enough to where on the third... they botch the kick without you jumping off sides, or even if you're just flinching, doing all that bullshit, and it works, and they miss the kick, I think it's worth it. I think it makes more sense than trying to ice the kicker with a timeout, because everybody knows that's coming. That shit doesn't work.
How did you approach Mike Tomlin with this idea?
Right.
Like, hey, I've been thinking, just bear with me on this. It's going to get a little weird in this kind of a situation. But I got the perfect plan.
Yeah,
come on. Omar Epps has probably already thought about this. I mean, it's obvious that you know he's about three steps above the Bengals anyway from letting his team do whatever the fuck they want. So, listen, I say go for it. I mean, yeah, it was very stupid to watch last time. By the way, the officiating crew was so fucking over it by the time it happened the third time. Literally, how they called the last play was jump off sides. The kick was good. The officiating crew, I mean, it's like as he's jogging off the field, he was... He said, kick is good, calls decline. It was having fucking none of it. I just wanted to get out of there.
Well, I just love in the same day that we had that ridiculous play calling by a coach or game planning. And then in our game, the Titans game, Mike Vrabel had the genius move before the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter to purposely put out 12 guys on the field because it stops the clock on a timeout. And so he saved a timeout after we've seen our team burn through timeouts like there were nothing in the first quarter of games. So it was just kind of was nice to see the coaching parallels between Mike Tomlin and
that's one of those things where you your job as a coach is to put your team in the best possible chance to win. And I think Vrabel definitely did it. I have no idea about that strategy for Tomlin, but
I don't think it was a strategy. I mean, is that kind of the path that we're going down with this? Is that was actually a strategy last night? It wasn't just the team just being undisciplined?
No. There's no way you jump offsides three times in a row.
Yeah.
No. Especially not as egregious as the second one was. They hadn't even snapped the ball. The guys were like...
So you're saying that it's just the team sucks.
I'm saying the team sucks, but I'm saying if you wanted to make it a strategy, I say fuck it, go for it. Why not? I think it makes just as much sense as calling a timeout to ice the kicker. However, the yardage has got to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a 50-55 yard field goal, you don't do it. If it's they're definitely going to make this probably... Yeah. Go for it.
Exactly. Yeah. If it's plus 50 or something, no, let the yardage handle itself. But
speaking of this game, I started watching Die Hard and I fell asleep. So I didn't even get to the game. Yeah, the best Christmas movie. I didn't even get through Die Hard. I woke up and the credits were rolling.
Clay.
The
Dude Clay.
But this morning everybody is saying that Antonio Brown is pretty much already retired in his head and stuff. There's the Antonio Brown is not good anymore takes have already started rolling in from various news outlets.
Oh, Jesus.
Spicy, spicy hot take.
One guy said that he's already retired.
Okay.
Whatever it's just you say. It's pure lunacy.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's just idiots. Idiots.
Idiots.
This world is filled with idiots.
I agree.
So I feel like we have to talk about it.
Kareem, come out to the coast.
It's probably tired as hell by the time this comes out. But Kareem Hunt, of course, got...
What happened?
He got released.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he do?
I don't know. I don't really want to talk about it. He got released for kicking and pushing a woman in a hotel hallway or something, right? This came out on TMZ, not from the NFL.
Correct.
And so he was released from the Chiefs and put on the commissioner exempt list. And then he was put on waivers, passed waivers without anyone claiming him. We're so proud
of you,
Washington.
I was a little surprised by it.
Really?
Yeah. I was a little surprised that he didn't get claimed by someone.
He was on the exempt list, so there was no way he was going to play until he was off of that. But yeah, I was slightly surprised after the Redskins did that and then basically shrugged when everybody got mad at them for doing that with the 49ers, Reuben Foster.
If they didn't have Darius Geis, they probably would have picked him up. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I was honestly expecting him to, which is terrible.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good job, Washington. Thanks for not shitting all over the floor.
Yeah, I've seen a few takes on the TMZ getting the video and NFL having a hard time getting the video.
Yeah.
And I think the best argument I saw that the argument is for the NFL just being complete lazy shitheads when it comes to this stuff. Was that they every week there's at least 16 games almost at the most where the NFL has deals with hotels where they not only do the home team players stay in a hotel but also the players for the away team, of course. So they all stay in these hotels. So they're saying what you're telling me is this company that spends probably millions on hotel rooms or is responsible for hotel revenues in certain cities couldn't leverage a hotel someone in the hotel staff to get this video but TMZ could I mean it's very lazy.
They don't want to know.
There's no there's nothing about the NFL couldn't get the video. The NFL didn't want the video. That I guarantee it went down like this. Is anybody pressing charges? No. Do the police have the video? No, we good.
Yeah.
I mean, because you'd rather deal with the excitement and the jersey sales and the crowds going nuts over somebody like Kareem Hunt, and then if there's fallout, you deal with it later.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest here. Has there been anything that's come out in the NFL besides the crazy crap with the flag protesting that has put any kind of significant dent in the NFL making money?
Yep.
It is very easy to apologize and to move forward. The only surprise I see is how quickly they were to put them on the exempt list and what's the path forward from there. But let's be honest. If he didn't go on the exempt list, and this is what is crazy to me about the NFL, it's such a close-knit society. Player X screws up. The team for player X comes out and says, this is just reprehensible. They are no longer a part of our organization. The second they're gone, 31 other teams are scrambling to pick them up. So suddenly, they were not good enough to play for that organization. And again, I'm not defending anything here. But that organization is now obligated to release that person, and they suffer for it. But suddenly, 31 other teams can pick them up. They become a quote-unquote rehabilitated person. They've learned from their mistakes, and they move forward. Yeah. Let me just put this into perspective. If I get in trouble running a Chick-fil-A for pissing in the middle of the floor and I get fired from a Chick-fil-A, 31 other Chick-fil-A's are not scrambling to pick me up. All Chick-fil-A's are now off the table.
Well, probably a Chick-fil-A in Florida would hire you.
They actually would promote me to district manager. But the point I'm making here is that in any other working fashion, if you fuck up your resume and pull a Kareem Hunt, you're unhireable in a lot of your spaces. But for sports, that franchise or that group lets you go, but all the other teams, suddenly you're on the table and you're cool.
It And he didn't really seem very remorseful. Have y'all seen any of the clips of him in whatever? I don't know who was interviewing him. But
I read some of the stuff, and he was apparently very, like, upset, but it seemed like he was more upset about getting caught losing his job.
And he's like, you know, I'm looking into, you know, therapy sessions and having therapy or doing this or that. And she goes, well, have you started since, you know, February? No, I really haven't. Like, whoever his PR firm is should definitely be fired.
Yeah. Yeah. There should have been a guy standing right next to him answering those for him, basically. But on lighter, more exciting news, Sharkantrick West signed with the Chiefs today. Yeah. That is a F-Words Pod Sharknado warning.
Oh, no. I wish I had a siren.
How do you not have a tornado siren?
We'll just use that.
Well, okay. I mean, if I heard that, I would be so irritated that I was going to die after hearing that noise alerting me to a tornado.
Sharkantrick West, baby. He's back just in time for the fantasy football playoffs. So let's move on to our fun award topics. We've got the three quarter of the year awards. So let's move through them. Just trying to work that drop in.
He just wants to push buttons.
He just wants to push
it's buttons. Like giving your kid a Casio keyboard for Christmas. Yeah. They're going to love it, but 30 seconds later, you're going to fucking regret putting batteries in that thing.
Yep.
I just love the tongue rolls. sounds like a bunch of turkeys.
So let's start with MVP, the most valuable player. Who is your 2018 three quarters of the year MVP?
Drew Brees next.
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I'd like to throw a name out there.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers should be into some kind of consideration because he's kind of on the same level of value for his team. It's not that same thinking that he's putting up career numbers like Drew Brees is, who's otherworldly. Just keep that name in the back of your head floating around.
He definitely needs to be in that top five, top ten conversation.
I can't believe I'm going to defend him because I just cannot stand Phillip Rivers and his nine kids.
Well, eight kids and nine's on the way.
Expecting that, yeah.
He's going to cap it at 10. Let's be honest. He's going to have 10 kids, right? But I can't believe I'm going to defend him. But after that game last night, I see it.
Yeah.
I could make that argument and now that I've got that disgustingness out of my mouth.
Yeah, I'm also going Drew Brees. I mean,
right.
Let's just keep it moving.
Yeah.
So let's go non-QB offensive player of the year.
Who Gurley. I'm still sticking with Gurley.
Gurley.
I don't think I'm getting off that train.
No Thielen. No.
Thielen disappeared pretty much during that Patriots game.
A couple of bad games.
I don't feel like Gurley ever disappears. He may not always be on the run game, but he makes moves and plays. I think that is something that needs to be out there, is that he's just always there.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't want to turn this into a podcast where we all just name the same people, but I have to agree. I mean, Thielen probably would have been someone I would have gone to, but he's kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
And if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, I might have even tolerated hearing something like Tyreek Hill. But they've had games where they've disappeared. And,
I think you could, if this wasn't offensive player of the year and this was offensive MVP non-QB, I think you would have a lot of cases for people like Tyreek Hill. I would even throw out Zeke Elliott as a non-QB MVP candidate for his team. I think there are players like that, but I think when you just talk about an offensive player of the year, it's got to be Todd Gurley.
And I'm going to skew the rule set here a little bit and throw out the last couple of games, but James Conner, just for having to step up to Bell's shoes, I mean, not only did he step up, he pretty much made the Steelers just forget about him. So, he's been impressive. Of course, I would love to work Mahomes in there because that's just so much fun to watch, but I don't want to go QB with that one. So, I'll go Gurley for argument's sake.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's Gurley.
Yeah.
He's my special boy. He's my fantasy MVP.
Your special baby boy.
It's Todd Ball, baby. Let's move on to defensive player of the year. Let's see where you guys are out of that.
I'm still at Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just because he saw that picture of him with the shirt off.
I mean,
I'll give
it to
him for that fucking picture.
It's ridiculous how he's built.
There's no reason why a 290-pound man should have an 8-pack. And that is horrifying.
And before yesterday, I got some of the stats for Defensive Player of the Years and all this stuff, but this is before yesterday. No, actually, this one actually is for today. Aaron Donald in his last 9 games has averaged 1.83 sacks, 2.22 tackles for loss, and 3.44 quarterback hits per game. So until week 3, he had his first 3 games, he had 0 sacks. He's at 16.5 now in the last 9 games. 20 tackle for losses and 31 of his 32 quarterback hits on the season came in his last 9 games.
Fucking sick. He is, and I'm going to find the clip so I don't sound like an idiot when I say this next time, but there is footage of him with a sack this year, and I don't even know who it was, the quarterback he sacked, but he runs into the backfield, grabs the quarterback, slings him to the ground, and just keeps running to go celebrate. Never hits the ground, never even bends his knees to take him down to the ground in the tackling motion. He just simply throws him down like he's throwing an 8-year-old out of a minivan and just keeps running. It's so fucking impressive.
Yeah, there was a clip. I mean, we could do this all day, just trading Aaron Donald stories, but there was a clip where I think it was from last week, where he was getting double teamed by a guard in the center, and he just does this like double rip move and just
uppercuts him.
Yeah, he just uppercuts everybody and just runs through, like strips the quarterback, throws him to the ground, and then like of course that was like the game winning play for the Rams or whatever.
I just want to put on a Miles Davis album, pour myself a glass of scotch, and watch his sack reel
right?
all year.
Yeah.
I just want to have a nice evening of me alone with his sack footage. That's going to sound exactly how I said it.
I'm trying to remember how that tweet went that I read you just like a few hours ago about Aaron Donald. It was something about how...
It's porn.
Yeah, it's basically
football porn.
It's like watching Aaron Donald play a football game, like just putting on the Rams game and just watching Aaron Donald is like watching, I can't remember what it was.
He said something about he was making a movie reference and I'll just...
Oh, it's like watching the end of Man on Fire when Denzel Washington's just killing people with rocket launchers and
what do you say, ramming dynamite up people's asses or something?
It's just ridiculous. So actually, I might need to go back and change him to MVP.
Oh, wow.
He needs to be considered. He needs to be in that conversation,
no,
I feel like.
He does need to be considered. Because
this is outlandish.
No, it's not only is it outlandish, I might actually be willing to just flip-flop right now and say I really hate that Drew Brees has never gotten it, but fuck it. You got to reward the performance and...
Yeah, you want to talk about due time. We haven't had like a defensive MVP since like LT back in the 80s or something, I think.
And Jesus, if he doesn't deserve it. So.
Yeah. So
it's interesting.
It's an interesting argument that I think we need to consider.
I'll allow the argument. I don't know if I'm on the side of the argument, but I'll allow it.
It really only works from a like comparing him to the other players at his position sort of thing. It doesn't necessarily work as you take him off that team. That team's now not, 11 and 1 or whatever they are. But, all right, let's move on to Offensive Rookie of the Year. Who you got?
Philip Lindsay.
Saquon. I knew it. You hate Saquon. You can't give him props.
It's the numbers are all in favor of Philip Lindsay. So if you're going to say something good about Saquon, you're saying something better about Philip Lindsay. Saquon only has 17 more rushing yards than Lindsay does on 41 more rushes, more rush attempts. His yards per touch, so this includes receiving yards too. Philip Lindsay, 6.3 yards per touch. Saquon Barkley, 5.8 yards per touch. Move the chains rate. Lindsay gets one first down every 3.4 touches. Saquon gets one first down every 4.3 touches. Touchdown rate. Philip Lindsay, 1 every 19.9 touches. Saquon, 1 every 22.4 touches. Philip Lindsay is fourth in the NFL in rushing yards and averages a full 1 yard or more per rush attempt than everyone ahead of him on that list. And it's all because Barkley just has the better team. If you take Philip Lindsay out, Royce Freeman is not putting up those numbers. This team is not as explosive on offense. Philip Lindsay is the only reason the Denver Broncos are even at 6-6 right now. And Saquon, with or without Saquon, hasn't adjusted their win total at all. They could probably still be at the same wins that they are with or without Saquon Barkley.
I disagree, Lebowski.
I'm going to say Saquon Barkley because I just want to see the look on his face while I say
hey,
it.
Hey, listen, I know that Saquon Barkley is probably going to win it, but it's just because he's Saquon Barkley and it's the New York media.
I don't think that's just
Let's
it,
go
though.
With the New York media bias argument.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it's New York media.
Saquon,
you're all sheep. Wake up, sheeple.
I will agree that Philip Lindsay is very close. He's definitely 1B.
And let me say this. He's undrafted.
Yeah, but that doesn't...
That should play in a little bit.
That doesn't factor in.
It should.
No, it should not.
It just shows that Saquon, you know... Eh.
Saquon's got 74 receptions on the year. He's that basically that whole offense.
Okay, Odell's the offense. I mean, Odell, when's the last time Saquon threw a touchdown pass?
We're going to go with the QB Odell.
Come on, let's be honest here. The only reason why Odell got to throw a touchdown pass is because he's probably in the locker room bitching that he's a better quarterback than Eli Manning.
I'm surprised he didn't go try to catch the pass.
Fun fact, Saquon's
only got...
And then
bitch why dropped his own pass.
Yeah.
Saquon's only got 3 less receptions than Odell. 77-74. All right, well, let's go to the other side of the ball.
So I guess you're all Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on Saquon.
I know Big Mike would have been.
I would say.
But he's not here.
I will say that.
Yeah, boo him, crowd. Boo.
Boo
Big Mike.
Boo.
Boo, boo, boo,
boo.
Boo,
Mike Miracles, boo.
Boo. Boo.
Boo. I will say that if they did a co-MVP sort of thing, if they could do a co-offensive rookie of the year sort of thing, I would be for it in this case.
Yeah, I would be too.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. Defensive rookie of the year. Who you got?
I couldn't decide. There's three rookies that you could choose from that I think they could all be deserving. There's Derwin James, Bradley Chubb, and Darius Leonard.
You didn't even put Van Der Esch in there, huh?
No, I don't think Van Der Esch is as good. I think he's came on, but I don't think he's really defensive rookie of the year talk. I think everybody, if he didn't play for the Cowboys, I don't think anybody would be that impressed.
He's doing pretty good.
I mean, he's doing pretty good, but he's not doing as good as these three guys. I mean, Derwin James has got 78 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 9 passes defended, and that's third at the safety position.
Van Der Esch has 102 tackles, my friend.
Yeah, but this is a safety at 78 tackles.
That's right.
And he has 2 interceptions. He has 15 pressures on 46 pass rushes, and according to Pro Football Focus, most of any safety in the NFL. And no safety in the last 30 years has ever won. So I don't think he's going to win. But that's pretty impressive for a rookie safety. And how many tackles does LVE have?
Let's go back. It's 102.
102. Darius Leonard has 114, so he'd be the other one. And so if you're going to use tackles, he has 114 tackles, 6 sacks, 1 interception, and 4 forced fumbles. Leads the league in tackles despite missing a game. He missed a game, and he still leads the league in tackles. And 6 sacks for someone at that position is pretty absurd in the linebacking core. Yep. And he's really probably one of the reasons they turned this defense around. And then you have Bradley Chubb, 41 tackles, but he has 9 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, and 13 QB hits. And you're pretty much guaranteed to win Defensive Rookie of the Year if you reach double-digit sacks. So sacks are sexy, so I think Chubb will probably win, but I don't know if he's really the most deserving.
I would say Derwin James.
I would put LVE at 4th. He would be the 4th. And if Rashawn Evans had played good like he is playing now for the whole year, he'd be in the conversation for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Sure. I'm going Derwin James.
I think I may go Darius Leonard.
I can see the argument for that as well. Lebowski.
I don't know.
It's hard. It's a hard race to choose.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'll go with Derwin James just because I had to make a choice.
Yeah.
There you go. Just make a choice. I don't know. Derwin James. Coach of the Year. Who is... he's smiling in a weird way. I feel like this is going to be upsetting.
I'm going to let y'all do your alls first.
I feel like I'm going to... might steal your thunder. Let's start with Lebowski. Who you got, Coach of the Year?
Why do you have to start with me? I want to know why he's smiling first. Let's go with Keith.
All right. My Coach of the Year is going to be Matt Nagy.
I can see it.
First year head coach?
Yeah.
8-4. This team... Let's... Okay, so my rationale for this is not just most wins, which seems to be most people's. it's expectations versus reality.
Yeah.
And what you thought this team was going to be coming into the year.
But those were versus your expectations. You were down on the Bears.
I feel like a lot of people were down on the Bears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see that. I could see him being coach of the year. I'm actually kind of surprised that anybody mentioned his name.
Yeah. I mean, Trubisky's not an elite quarterback by any measure.
But, I mean, that offense is better with Trubisky somehow.
Yeah.
And he was able to get one good game out of Chase Daniel with Trubisky out.
Right.
And the only reason probably they lost that game yesterday was because Trubisky wasn't playing, and they chose to preserve him. He could have played, but they want to keep him healthy for the long run,
right,
because they know right now they're running away with that division. That's probably the worst division in football right now is the NFC North. And they're running away with it, so why put your someone out there to get injured?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's just it's insane.
It's the Sean McVay effect. I mean,
yeah,
he's kind of like this year's Sean McVay, except for he's got a lot further along to go with Trubisky than anybody did with Jared Goff.
And that was the main thing that I kept seeing whenever I would compare him to the other coaches who were maybe a little bit more successful win-loss record-wise, is like I would look at their quarterback. Mahomes is a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
Brees is a very good quarterback. Goff's a good quarterback. We've got, you know, all those people. Very good. But then you get down and you got Trubisky and somehow he's making this work. So what about you? I want to know what that smile's about.
I mean, I just figured everybody was going to choose like Andy Reid or someone like that. I didn't think anybody was going to choose anybody different than what we've already talked about. But I'm going Pete Carroll.
Yeah?
Pete Carroll, coach of the year.
Ric Flair.
I mean, we all thought this team was going to be dog shit. We thought that he lost the locker room, that they lost so much on defense that they would not be any good on defense. They would just be a train wreck. And right now, if I'm anybody in the NFC, I don't want to face the Seahawks right now. They're on a roll. If they'll sneak into the playoffs in that wild card spot, and it's probably not going to be really sneaking. They'll probably get double-digit wins. And I don't know if I want to play anybody. I don't care if you're the Rams or if you're the Saints. I don't know if I want to play the Seahawks right now because Pete Carroll has this team believe in themselves again. It's very reminiscent of the last time they went to the Super Bowl or with Russell on his rookie year. Just the team, you didn't really know anybody on the team then.
Yeah.
You got to know them but Pete Carroll brought the most out of everybody. He is a motivator for a coach. He has brought the best out of everybody. Bobby Wagner is still playing at a high level right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have been without KJ Wright. They seem to just believe in themselves. It's them versus everyone else. And I think that's something for Pete Carroll to hang his hat on. Then I think he's coach of the year candidate.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's pretty impressive that you're considering him for that, considering we were talking about him being a hot seat candidate earlier in the year.
Yeah, because we really didn't think that he was going to be able to overcome anything. And then all he's done is I just don't get it. They should not be this good.
Right.
Yet I am deathly afraid for any team that has to face them.
Yeah. That's a good point. Lebowski.
I'm going to be predictable and go Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't think it was a huge surprise that they moved on from Alex Smith. But Jesus, they moved on from Alex Smith and that offense is fucking rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, good move to make at the time. And I like seeing it. Jesus, they lost Kareem Hunt over the weekend, and it looks like they didn't miss a fucking beat.
Yeah, they didn't look different at all.
Mahomes still threw four fucking touchdowns. I think it was a good move on Andy Reid to go ahead and just pull the trigger. You know, let's see what Mahomes has got, and to get rid of Alex Smith, and it's paid off big time. I do hate making that pick though, because it seems like it's an easy one. I really like your pick of Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I think if Big Mike was here, he would definitely he'd call us all idiots and Sean McVay. Sean McVay. It's got to be Sean McVay. Sean McVay. Then he would like take a big bite of a turkey leg and probably, you know, throw it at someone.
Yeah, he's very physically abusive when he's in here. That's not true. So let's move on to comeback player of the year. Who do you got?
I mean, there's only two real choices, and they're both in our division. It's either Andrew Luck or J.J. Watt, and I'm probably going to go – I have Andrew Luck written down, but after this performance against the Jaguars, can I in good conscience give him an award? No, I think I'm going to go J.J. Watt.
I'm going JJ. I'm going JJ Watt. I just want to get that over with.
Yeah,
I'm going Andrew Luck. The kid's been balling out of control. He's what? Let's see. Where is he on here? He's eighth in passing yards for the season, and he's second in passing TDs.
Yeah.
Like that is that's impressive after we were speculating whether or not you would even be able to throw a football just a few months ago.
Yeah, and he's throwing it to like Mo Alley Cox and Zach Pascal.
In the Detroit's, Detroit's least favorite person, Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
Like that is that's impressive.
That's
you
a
can
feat.
You can have one bad game as a quarterback and have a good season. Let's take it easy.
No, I mean
I know
you don't put up 0 points against the Jags.
That's if you're gonna put up 0 points, that's one of the few teams that you could probably do.
He should have done it against us. If you're gonna put up 0 points, you put up 0 points against us.
I know. All right. Well, there's our awards. So you know exactly who's gonna win it.
You know how how we feel. At least you know that.
Yeah.
We could be completely fucking wrong.
We probably are.
Yeah.
Once I don't know. Something crazy happens and Todd Gurley ends up MVP. We'll see. But
that'd be crazy.
Let's get to our segment called Back to the Future Thursday Night Football Recap from Wednesday that you're listening to on Friday, presented by Football and Other F Words.
Let's do it.
So wait a minute. Is this for okay, never mind. So Jaguars versus Titans. That was weird. The lights just turned bright for some reason.
Really bright.
I think we're being abducted by aliens.
Yes.
We're going to keep potting anyways.
We're going to predict our own game that we did another podcast about?
Yep.
We're going to predict the game on Thursday night, the Jaguars versus Titans game that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
We're going to tell you what happened in that game.
Oh, great.
So we're going to put a minute on the clock.
Ready.
And go.
I cannot believe that they had a TV in the ambulance when they were taking me for alcohol poisoning. I got to see the whole game.
I can't believe that Leonard Fournette got suspended twice in one game.
I don't think it's fair that the Titans are able to use the F-18 flyovers to drop our running backs into the end zone. I feel like that's not fair, but we're playing the Jags, so I didn't give a fuck.
I like that Blake Bortles did come in to try to turn the team around and then immediately threw three pick sixes on one pass throw. I don't know how it happened, but we got 21 points off that one pass.
And you watched all this on the TV?
Yeah, in the ambulance.
In the ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Traffic was bad. It took a while.
I felt bad when it took about 15 minutes to dig up Barry Church from the ground after Marcus Mariota stiff-armed him so hard they couldn't physically remove him from the ground without heavy construction equipment.
The fact that he blasted out the other side of the planet is really kind of what...
He showed up in China.
Showed up in China.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
That's it.
That's our time.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
45-7, Titans. Mm.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
45-2.
45-1. Because there is a one-point play in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Don't ask me to explain it, because it's...
It has to do with your two-point try, right?
Your two-point try, and then it gets fumbled out of the end zone, but the other team recovers it and runs it into the end zone or some shit like that. I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
But there is a one-point play.
Has it ever happened? Do we know?
It's never happened.
I don't think so.
Very close. A couple weeks ago, the Patriots almost pulled it off. It's never happened in the NFL.
Damn.
So well, there's this game. Your trivia this fucking game. Fact.
Yeah. Do we have a beats and box scores?
We don't, chance? Sadly. Oh, okay. My victim was supposed to be Mike Miracles, but womp, womp, he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So we will we'll get after his ass next week.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, Effers. Be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, if you would be so kind. It helps us get the podcast out there and get more awesome people like yourself listening to the show. Make sure to visit Music City Miracles for all your Titans analysis and news. And get at us on Twitter at FWordsPod.
I'm there.
He's
every
there.
Day.
It's Mr. Lebowski on Twitter. Is there anything else you want to pimp out?
No, you can come annoy me.
I'm technically on Twitter at Internet Keith, but I will never say anything.
No, keep after his ass. All right, he actually logged into Twitter last night. We need more. We need more participation.
I think people just need to constantly tag him.
Constantly tag him.
Yeah, it's like an elf when the Santa Claus meter goes down. If more people start tagging me, I'll fly. That's how that happens.
Yeah, I hope so, because the meter's practically dead right now.
Well, we are Football and Other F-Words, and you've just been effed.
Go pour myself a glass of Macallan and watch Aaron Donald sack videos.
It's me in a bathrobe and just nothing else.
Just a smoking jacket, a cigar, a glass of scotch.
Dark room.
Miles Davis.
Yeah. Somebody walks in, you close the laptop real fast. It's like, were you watching Aaron Donald videos again?
You'd rather admit to watching porn.
No, it's just porn, I swear.
No, it's just porn, honey. It's just nasty porn.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.